time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation
the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. In the Conversation. The podcast.
The big podcast.
The big podcast. Yes, sir. This is the 500th episode of In the Conversation.
500.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Can you fucking believe that? Yeah, man. I was thinking the same shit. Not really. I mean, kind of, but not. God damn, 500 episodes. That shit is bananas. That is bananas, man.
I mean, shit. Yeah. Man. Lot that got goes there. 500 times, man.
Yeah, yeah, nah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's a crazy situation.
Half them times, well, not even half, more than half them times, we was going to the location. You know what I'm saying? Going to the studio.
Yeah. Think it was half them times we was going there?
More than half, because it's only been 4 years since we've been doing it like this.
Five years. Nah, maybe.
Nah, pandemic was 4 years ago.
20. Yeah. 20. Yeah.
That's okay. When we started. Right,
well,
when
did you move to Atlanta?
I ain't moved. You sound like my wife. I ain't moved to Atlanta till last year.
Nigga don't want to claim it.
I was in and out of Atlanta, but I ain't moved to this motherfucker.
I just live here. Yeah, okay.
Nah, I was on assignment. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right, fair enough. You got it.
When you move to Atlanta.
Oh, shit. Well, when was that? When did you go on assignment? Was it 2019?
2019 was the first time, but okay. We didn't,
remote.
I don't know how we did it then, because remember, I didn't buy the Rodecaster till right before the pandemic, like 2020.
I forget how it was done. I think you had,
oh, yeah, I was Zoom. On my Zoom. Yeah.
We was getting it done, though. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing of this whole shit. We was getting this shit done. And that's what I like about it. I just looked at the, it's almost a little over 9.5 years, almost 10 years we've been doing this shit. It's kind of fucking bananas.
Yeah,
kind of bananas, man.
It's a long
time
ago, man.
Hell yeah. It's a long time ago, man. Shit was wild, different back then. Shout out to the El Capitan, Vladimir Camaño.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Part of the triumvirate, you know? Mm-hmm. Shout out to, shout out to Stand Up Lab. Shout out to young Chris. Old Matt. You know what I mean? What's my man's name? We had a couple other Shelby. And everybody else that might have came through and helped out on the engineer tip. You know, like shit, man. It was a beautiful thing. Like what I was saying was, we got it done. That's one thing that, you know, because I don't want to say I'm not nostalgic or sentimental, but I can be. But I definitely, you know, I said it's 500, crept up a little bit. Like, I seen it coming, but I didn't really plan much for, like, to celebrate it. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. What I would say is it's one of these things, project-wise, that I've been most committed to. Like, that's the thing. Like, we to keep the streak alive. Like, that shit was, that meant something. Speaking of the pandemic, that shit, that was like one of the short list of things that kept the motherfucker sane and alive during the pandemic, you know. But you know, shit, over 9.5 years of just, you know, chopping it up with you and having these conversations that go everywhere and nowhere. But, you know, somehow, some way, people still tune in, still enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I definitely want to thank everybody that's listened to at least one of the 500 episodes, if not more. You know, like, mm-hmm. if y'all got favorites, let us know in the comments. Let us know some of the moments that you appreciated over the years. You know, salute to our guests. We had, you know, we had a good a good run of guests. We was doing guests and things of that nature, you know. But yeah, I can't believe it. 500. 500. Yeah. What are your thoughts? How you feel?
I mean, I just feel like, one, starting it, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what it was gonna be. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know how long it was gonna go, if I was gonna be able to do it. It was a lot of juggling to be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? It was like a commitment that it was like, you know, my kids had to adjust. You know what I'm saying? I had to go pick kids up, drop them off, and just let them be home to go do the pod. You know what I'm saying? Ace, you know, he probably gonna be in therapy talking about how, you know, he couldn't do after school because I had to do the podcast on Tuesday. I don't know how that, you know what I'm saying, affects your ability to do all things, but, you know.
It's one His small talk ability might be great, though. He might know how to, you know.
You know what I'm saying? So in coming into it, you didn't know what it was going to be. You know what I'm saying? In doing it in exercise, you know, you find a way to use your voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I've been in some therapies and they like, you know, basically like, you know, you need to find more friends to talk to. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, shit, I got a lot of people to talk to. Every Tuesday night, I talk to the people. And, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, for real, it's better than a therapy because you could get shit out on your own terms on a regular basis and not, you know what I'm saying? You're not paying somebody just to try to find little things. You just find those little things and enjoying the moment and presenting the information. The comments will tell you, you know what I'm saying, if your shit is off. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, it feels good doing it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part that keeps us, but for me, keeps me doing it because it feels good to do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, yeah, that and the millions of dollars that we've grossed doing this. You know, that we don't speak about, but you know, because that would just be crass. But it's just, you know what I mean? No, it's just, it's the, it must
get
me be
robbed.
Something that,
you know, I'm in Atlanta, nigga.
Oh, shit. No, right. True indeed. True indeed. But you know, yeah, it's just the opportunity to talk to the people and the people talking back and yeah, just being able to like you said, use your voice, speak,
right?
You know, like it's, yeah. I, you know, it's been a ride. It's been good. It's been, like I said, like this, it's a standing appointment,
right?
You know, to lock in. And I appreciate the people that appreciate it. You know, a lot of the conversationalists, I don't want to start shouting names out right now because I don't want to miss
Mark
nobody.
Walton. He's been the most steadiest commenter of all commenters, man.
He's there. Kieran is in there. Kieran
Sammy
is
Monet.
In there. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. That we go, it's too bad. It's a lot of people. I don't want to start doing
but
that.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta, you know what I'm saying, shine some light on the bright ones. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying? Brown Buddha on Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Salute to the people.
My man Teron out of Philly.
Okay. All right. Bet. Yep. Salute to y'all. Salute to all of y'all. Salute to the conversationalists that I meet out in the streets that, you know, or at the shows and things like that. And they come up and they say they fuck with the show. You know, those that come out and support. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's great to have some, so you don't feel like you're all the way speaking into a void. Obviously, we talk to each other, so that's always good. And it's glad to see people jump in. Because that was the impetus of the podcast from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I've said this before, but like, you know, we'd be on the phone or just having a conversation in person. And I'm like, yo, this is an interesting-ass conversation. It's kind of funny. Particularly the way that your mind will work, some of the shit that you'll say, I'm like, yo, we need to share this with the people. You know what I mean? I was listening to the podcast for a while, but I was like, nah, this shit could be interesting. And the same thing with the conversations I would have with Vlad and then, you know, the three of us getting together, you know, as the triumvirate, You know what I'm saying? And it was a good time. It was a good time. And it's been a good time throughout. It's been a good time throughout. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just happy that we've gotten this far. And hopefully we're gonna keep going some more. And I hope y'all keep listening. And as we said, you know, we ain't put together no little package or nothing like that, a look back or retrospective.
y'all don't come to us for that, no way.
yeah. All you know, that's you go holler at fucking This American Life for that type of shit. But let us know some of your favorite moments. Let us know some of your favorite moments, some of your, you know what I mean, your favorite stories, your favorite phrases, blah, blah, blah. Right, you know, right. Share that. Share that in the comments. What's up?
I mean, you know, it's like the thing that people don't know. It takes a lot to adjust, you know what I'm saying, your life to work around a specific time and place. You know what I'm saying? And so there's been technical difficulties. There's been, you know what I'm saying, nigga have got to the machine and don't have a SD card. You know what I'm saying? Then had to figure out another way to do the shit. Nigga has recorded on the wrong track and had to edit it out. It's been a lot. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Yeah. Niggas have had an argument, full argument before the show come on and start that motherfucker like, hey, what's up?
yeah, that's true. Yeah, before it cracked the mic. yeah.
Like, nigga, I'm finna fire your ass, Ollie.
Hilarious.
Goddamn, nigga, all right, shit. Oh, and then we come on here and do the damn thing. And that's the whole point of it. It's like, you know, it's not just, you know, everybody, we out here trying to make a dollar and just got to do it like a job. It's some shit niggas want to do. And
yeah.
And through all the shit, we still do it. You know what I mean? And I think one of my favorite highlights was when we did the live podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To talk in front of the people. And you know what I'm saying? Some of the people, you know what I'm saying, from the pod is in the building. And, you know, it's a live interaction. That was a real dope moment. And that was when it was all three of us, the triumvirate. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that was cool. That was real cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Bringing it to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. We should have done some more. We might do some more maybe and soon. Maybe. We'll see. It'd be cool to be in front of the people again. That was a good time though.
That was dope. You know what I'm saying? It's just funny how certain stories resonate. You know what I'm saying? It's funny how like anytime I post my pop, somebody jumping in there, oh, they go to Mac 10 bag.
for sure. Somebody was saying that just this week. They were asking me about merch and things of that nature. And I was like, well, what kind of ideas he got? Well, you could do a bag with the Mac 10 bag. You know what I mean? So that's definitely one of the more popular stories. And that's been a thought for a while, the Mac 10 bag. You know.
That's cool. You know, just seeing how those stories, you know, from your life just pop in and live their own life after that, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the other good thing, one good memory of the whole shit was when my mom passed, like she never said she listened to the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when she passed, you know, we was going through our stuff, trying to find the passwords, the stuff, trying to figure out, you know, where she got her shit. And once we got into the iPad, she listened to the pod every week.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, I probably done talk some shit about her. I don't know, shit. But she damn sure was tuned in. So she kind of lived with me along with the pod, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't even know it until I found out.
Yeah, so that's wild. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Shit.
Sound like you ain't had nothing to top that or something.
nah, you can't. Come on now. Come on now. You gotta let that one ride out. That's the big joker.
It was just something I thought about.
Exactly. You know, that's it. That's it. That's what's it. Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be funny to see how, like, you know, even when you get older, you have these stories already locked in that you could just tap into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's for sure. It's for sure. It's fucking 500 hours of stories and, you know, all types of shit talk and things of that nature. It's wild just to think about it. It's wild just to think about it. Just to think about what has been shared over the mics, you know, over these airwaves and things of that nature. And to be honest with you, I don't really regret nothing. You know what I mean? You know, I used to get podcast remorse, though. I did. I definitely be like, ah, shit, I don't know if I should have said that shit. You know, but more often than not, it is what it is. I just trust the moment. You know what I mean? And understand that the people listening, they understand. They feel it, you know? It is what it is, you know? No harm intended. It's just how a motherfucker feels sometimes. You know, so I think that's kind of cool. I don't have a whole lot to really say at this moment. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of I'm not awed, but it's great to be at this point in it. 500 is wild. It's wild. And feels good. We'll keep going on. And, it's a beautiful thing, you know?
Word.
It is.
Word. Celebrating 500.
500. 500. Beautiful thing. There it is. All right, now, tell a friend to tell him. No, fuck with you. what's good with you, man? What you been up to?
Man, I just been, shit, man. I was fucked up, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, damn. For real. Took a turn.
I don't want to take a turn. I'm just saying, like,
go ahead now.
You know what I mean? You know, I was back to work, and I had to work through last weekend because we had an event, and then it had the Oscar stuff. And so it had been basically 13 days straight. You know what I'm saying? Man, but last Friday, I crawled out of here. You know what I'm saying? Crawled to the car to get home. And shit, the weekend I was just wiped out. You know what I'm saying? And then when you get wiped out, it's like a whole thing that come with it. So I realized I had, at that point, I had done too much. You know what I'm saying? So that was a thing. You know what I'm saying? So got rest, got back on the good foot. You know what I'm saying? And here nigga is. You know what I'm saying? So that was that.
A nigga is,
you know what I'm saying? I was mad because I ain't get to wash my car. You know what I'm saying? My car needed to be washed. Trying to do Ramadan, I had to suspend Ramadan. And it was rough, nigga.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because you know what I'm saying, that Ramadan and this shit wasn't really hitting together. You know what I'm saying? Body was like, nigga, you need some nourishment when I ask for it, not when you're telling me. You know what I mean? So I had to, I suspended it for this year, man. People were saying, like, why don't you just do it? You know, sometimes, like, it don't even really work like that. You know what I mean? You really got to zone in, you know what I mean? Or your body won't really take to it. So I was just like, man, let me figure this thing out before I jump back on that, because I don't need another episode or nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. Damn. All right.
So I was on that, man, trying to get myself together. I don't want to bring nobody down, but that's just what nigga.
Keep going, talk, man.
That's where a nigga at, you know. But, you know, in the between time, you know what I'm saying? Nigga did have some good conversations with friends, you know what I'm saying? You know, talked to my cousin I hadn't talked to him in a second, so that's always a good conversation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, other than that, just been grinding, man, trying to figure out my relationship to this world, you know what I mean? Just trying to put myself back and realizing that, you know, a lot of shit ain't going to be the same. You know what I'm saying? I keep trying to force it the same, man. It don't work the same. So maybe about 3-4 days ago, I just decided to lay back, man. Let it be. Let me learn life a new way as it comes along and stop trying to force my old way, you know? And when I stopped trying to force it, you know, I felt a lot easier. I don't know if shit worked out better yet, but you know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm just a little easier with myself. So that's where I'm at. I mean, you know what I'm
saying? Nah, that's good, though. That's good, though, that you, you know, I guess accepting that and you know, like, because that's got to, I'm sure that's frustrating, you know?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the good thing about this weekend, you know what I'm saying, my cousin, Reverend Dr. Terrence Evans of St. Paul's AME out in Covington, Georgia. Mm-hmm. It was his 50th, so they had a big celebration at the church, you know, and I never seen him preach. Because I know him just being, you know what I'm saying, nigga from Upper Locker, you know what I'm saying? So, but he's always been cool, but he became a reverend maybe 6-7 years ago. And, you know, when somebody catch their calling, you know what I'm saying, you appreciate it, but I'd never seen them actually in it, you know what I mean? So went to the church, and he you know, he gave an epic performance out there, you know what I mean? Like, it was his flu game on their ass, you know what I'm saying? Even the people in the congregation was like, you need to turn 50 every week, you know what I'm saying? So that was an interesting thing to watch, you know what I'm saying? My young cuz, who, you know, he's known for dancing, the tallest dancer you ever know. He's about 6'6", but slim, but he knew how to dance. You know what I'm saying? He danced real good. So that's how I knew him. And he played ball. But, you know, now he's the tall pastor that, you know, everybody following along with, man. He's just funny watching the journey, you know what I'm saying? And thinking about your own, you know. It's like one part in the service, everybody, you know, they asked people to record a video talking about him, you know what I'm saying? And you know, his mom, you know, his aunts, you know, a few other people, best friend, called, you know, they called in and left their words. And, you know, it's always something to hear how people feel about somebody, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't necessarily get to hear that on a day-to-day, you know? You know, you don't walk around and people just tell you how they feel, you know what I mean? So it was heartwarming. I got a little choked up when they did it, because it's like, damn. Because I know what that means, and I know how it feels to hear that shit. And, you know what I'm saying, to see a nigga get his flower standing up, is a good thing, you know.
That sounds good. That's really good, man. I know there's some people in that congregation that feel a way about you calling their reverend a nigga from Opa-locka, but that's the that's like, how dare you talk about
Reverend Dr. Yeah. Martin Luther Terrence Evans.
Damn, that's a reverend ass name. Reverends always got a bunch of names and shit. We said Reverend Dr.
No, it's not Martin Luther. It's Reverend Dr. Terrence Evans. Okay, I just throw the Martin Luther. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's
the OG Rev.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And most reverends got a past life. That I think some of the best reverends, they get it off the pivot. You know, that's what makes the word a little bit more poignant. When you could tell, like, yeah, this guy here is truly grateful. You know what I'm saying? Like, he done been through some shit. This is a testimony. Yeah, this is for real.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I can't say every pivot needs to be a reverend, but.
No, yeah, I'm not saying every pivot, no. Yeah.
I mean, it's some slicksters now, but, you know.
Oh, well, we seen. One just got convicted.
Yeah, you know? The bishop out of Brooklyn.
Yeah. Exactly.
Proliferating them tithes and shit. Unassing a nigga from his money.
Mm-hmm. Live streaming the shakedown.
Yeah. Right.
The quote unquote.
Cool. Right. Yeah, exactly.
It was a line. When you say that about the pivot, it was a line in Tez's show last week when Andre Taylor, also known, better known as, professionally known back in the day as Gorgeous Dre, the pimp. He had a line where he said, you know, they were talking about black families and why churches are, you know, resonating as they used to with the people. And he brought in a point of saying that, you know, he noticed that a lot of reverends, you know, they try to preach the Bible as a rated PG. You know what I'm saying? When you read the Bible, it's actually rated X, not rated X in, you know what I'm saying, you know, porn, but rated X in violence and you know, and the shit that niggas was doing, like shit was a trip. You know, they weren't tiptoeing around life. They was living life, you know what I'm saying? And these are the lessons that you, I guess, should be learning from. But a lot of times it's, you know, he's saying that it's washed over as, you know, these people are, you know, above reproach, you know, when a lot of these people was doing the same shit that niggas is doing out here now.
Yeah, I can see that. So a lot of people don't see themselves in any of these real stories.
Right.
Yeah. I guess it needs to be an adaption.
No, I mean, it ain't an adaption. You just got to read the line.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you read the shit about, you know, there's some shit, you know, motherfucker was just breaking down, not him, but just in general, breaking it down. Mm-hmm. And I had to go look it up myself. You know what I'm saying? How, like, King David stole Bathsheba from her husband. You know what I'm saying? He looking out the window of his castle, look down on the town and see her in the backyard taking a shower. And he was like, shit, I want her. And he sent his people for her, you know what I'm saying? Then he took her, then he made it so her husband, he sent the husband to war and had the nigga killed in war so he could have Bathsheba. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, golly, these niggas was ruthless.
Yeah, that's crazy.
These is Bible stories. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good ass Bible story. We don't hear that. I haven't heard that. I guess I don't read the Bible like that. Well, I all the thighs and these and all of that took me out of the Bible young. Right. I've been saying over the years that I wanted to, like, you know, read the Bible. You know, like go through it again. But I haven't. I haven't. That's it. I was about to find some justification for the procrastination, but it's really, I just ain't really crack it open. But I think if you do, that's a good point. If you do hear a little bit more, I guess, of the salacious stories, you know, it's damn shame that, like, yeah, you got to hear the foul shit in the Bible.
No, I mean, it's just.
Not the foul, but just the reality of it.
Yeah.
The reality of it, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's real shit.
Well, there you go. Let us know your favorite Bible story. The wildest one. The wildest one. Why? Yo, you ain't read the Bible yet? Nigga. That's the hell of a promo for the Bible. You ain't read? Come on now. Anyway, well, yo, salute to your cousin, you know. So you said a flu game? Was he sick or he's just?
Nah. He was just on one. You know what I'm saying?
He just put up 40.
Yeah, he put up 40. Put up 50. He put up 40 and brought it home to a rousing applause. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, you catch the feeling and you hit him with a lot of, you know, and I thought he was about to get the dancing up that motherfucker. But he did.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what's up. That's a good little situation, man. Sounds good. Oh, man. Shit, man. What I've been up to? I'm kicking it, you know, just out here in the world. Shows and such. I shot an AR-15.
Really?
This past weekend, you know, went out to the range, you know, me and the lady went out to the range and all of that. Yeah. And, shot an AR-15. I never, I ain't never shot no AR before. You know what I'm saying? Word. Like I was a little I've shot a couple handguns in life. You know what I'm saying? But never the AR. This was the first time. Well, I had the opportunity one time. I don't know if I ever told this. There's doing a show upstate in Nyack at Levity Live. I think it was Levity Live somewhere. I'm pretty sure it was Levity Live. It may have been even somewhere further upstate. And after the show, these young white kids, they was probably in like their 20s or whatever. And it was like, yo, man, it was funny tonight, man. It was a great time, da-da-da-da-da. Yo, if you want to, come back with us. We're going to go shoot ARs. And I was like, nah, I'm cool. I don't know you like that.
Yeah, I'm sad. Sounds like they wanted to leave you out there.
You know what I mean? Shit, nigga, I be dodging ARs. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, nah, I'm cool. But it was one of those things where I was like, damn, I do want to... I hate to say this. Nah, I don't hate to say this. This is America. You see where all the mass shootings and shit is going on, and you see the fucking bloodlust for guns that we have here in America. Mm-hmm. You know, I've grown up on Rambo movies and fucking, you know, like all types of gunplay from Rambo to John Wick. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of those that like the AR. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is one of the most popular firearms in the game right now. And I was like, let me see what that shit is hitting for. You know what I'm saying? I want to see what's cracking with it. Mm-hmm. And I was a little nervous. I was like, I don't know. I just don't want to look crazy if that kickback is ridiculous. Well, mm-hmm. I just don't look like, because you always see that type of shit where a motherfucker can't really control the gun. Like, vroom, and looking, you know, you looking sloppy, you looking, you know, off balance and shit.
Right.
But went to this range out there, and I'm not going to lie, I was a little on edge. You know, with just all of the, like, just all of the gun shit going off. Now, I've been around places where guns are going up, but not where you're not reacting, where you're not getting low, getting the fuck out the way, hiding, getting gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like it then either. But where you're just walking around and everybody, and I mean, there's guns going off and there's shells flying everywhere, like, just mm-hmm. everywhere. And guns of all types of calibers, you know, like there's 9mm, shotguns, and shit is a cacophony of violence going on. And that'll have you a little on edge, at least for the first 5-10 minutes, which is so crazy about the, like, about our body and about, I guess, our nervous system, how quickly you could stabilize, even in the midst of chaos. You're like, well, I guess this is where we at, you know?
And adjust.
So you just adjust. You just adjust. You just use your equalizers to pull down a little bit of that anxiety. Like, do-do-do-do-do-do. You know what I'm saying? Bring the numbing up. Bring the numbing up. To, you know what I mean? Like, just compartmentalize, whatever the fuck. So anyway, just in that, everybody shooting. And we shot a 9. You know, a VP9 was cool. That was cool to shoot. And then shooting this fucking AR, the AR-15. And that shit, I mean, like, we're both saying, like, you could see why, and I've said this before, even, maybe even on stage, like, you could see why there's such a love for guns. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel powerful. And not even just the power of it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we taking it back to the motherland, the percussion of it all. You know? Like, you could see why motherfuckers shoot up the whole block. Because if you shoot one, pow! I mean, that's definite. And that is targeted. And that mean you meant business. Pow! I wanted just that motherfucker. But then there's also the shit might get good to you. And it's like, you know, like, you gonna let it go. You know what I mean? It's a drum roll on that bitch. And again, I'm not making light of any gun violence, but all I'm saying is you can see the allure.
You can't see.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm just fucking with you.
Look, hey, Look, listen. What I'm saying is, so it was interesting to do. It was interesting to do shooting that. What else did I get into, man? Not too much else. What the fuck else did I do? I had some shows. Shout out to my man Vic. He got a brand called Cancel Comedy. It was a fairly late show, and it was for like a South Asian crowd. Mm-hmm. I think Vic is, I don't know what country, but you know, in that South Asian region. So like most of the crowd was South Asian. So it was a lot of cats observing Ramadan. You know what I mean? We up late than a motherfucker. I'm like, yo, this shit, you know. It was a funny little moment. We had fun. That shit was cool. I'm trying to think, man. Just moving around. I seen this. I tell you this. This is what I've been bugging out recently. I was looking at most recently, I've been on YouTube just today, besides work, like writing and shit. I took a little break and I was on YouTube and somehow I got into watching a bunch of Love and Hip Hop fights on 0.25 speed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So them shits look even more sinister when it's just always like, bitch. You know what I mean? Because it's like sometimes when you watch these little fights, it's only like 3 seconds of a fight, the security break the shit up, but it's like that 3 seconds, but and you know, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. So oftentimes I'm rewinding it to see what's going on. So I was like, let me throw this shit in super slow-mo. And when you watch it in super slow-mo, you know, like it takes on its own different feel to it. Like the way that the dialogue comes out, the score, like the little music in the back, even slowed down, it sounds even more ominous. You know what I'm saying? And then you just notice shit that you probably don't notice in the chaos of the fight, the way it's edited. You know what I'm saying? Like the way they do cutaways to people that are watching the fight, when you see them in slow-mo, you know, like I was watching one, I forget who was fighting. What's my girl? The girl from Chicken Noodle Soup.
Little Mama?
I forget it. No, Young B. Young B and this other girl. And Young B threw it. Like, some of these fights I didn't even see live. Like, this, you know, I kind of tapped out from Love and Hip Hop a while ago. But I just kind of got caught up in some of the fights. I think somebody referenced one fight, so I YouTube the shit. You know what I mean? YouTube and fights.
We'll talk about reality fights.
It probably even came from YouTube and a bunch of Mike Tyson fights, because I do want to talk about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. But I seen somebody talking about one of these reality TV show fights, so I picked it up, and then I'm watching this shit, and then, like, there's the Young B versus this other woman. Young B smoothly slip off her shoe and throw that shit. Remember Eddie Murphy when he was talking about how they use my shoe? Yo, the way she did this shit, I mean, the fuck, it was like Pat Mahomes. Wah, wah, caught shorty right to the side of her face with the heel. Dang. Bing! And then, like, they about to get into it, and then it cuts. And then you see Felicia Pearson, Snoop from The Wire. You know, she did a season. And it's like a tour in Afghanistan. She did a season of Love and Hip Hop. She did it, and they cut to her, and she's like, oh! But, like, the way, when you see it in slow-mo, the shit is hilarious to me. So I was looking at that shit. But... That's what I was looking at earlier today. But also, on some YouTube shit, I came across this woman, Lene Monet. Mm-hmm. She's a food reviewer. Mm-hmm. And she's funny. She make me laugh. Like, you know, I definitely always like to watch some of these people that review food. And, you know, some are better than others. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some people, they don't, their wordplay might not be that interesting or engaging. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, sometimes I've always said, like, I don't even know if I got all the vocabulary to really talk about the food in a way. You know what I mean? How's it taste and whatever, whatever.
We waiting on your show, so I don't know if it's review or just cooking, but, you know, we waiting.
Something.
Yeah.
But I watching Homegirl, and she's just, it's just the way that she talk about the shit. Shit is super funny. I came across, I forget exactly how I came across it, but Shorty is mad funny. Just some of the shit that she says. She remind me of like a woman version kind of like what Dame Drops used to do. Dame Drops is this cat from Connecticut, like one of the OG in your car food reviewers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Little funny quotables and things of that nature. But yeah, you know, it's like, it's kind of funny, like when your algorithm's like, oh, that's what you like? They just they just keep serving it up like your grandmom's. That's what you want every time you show up. Here you go. Here you go. You know what I mean? So yeah, shout out to Lene Monet. I think that's her name. She's funny as shit. But
yeah, I see her on here. Lele Monet underscore foodie vibes.
Yeah, she's funny. She's funny. Got some funny, like, you know, it's some funny little reviews and shit. So that's what's up.
Okay.
But quick question. What you think about this? I think we might have talked about this offline. How you feel about this Mike Tyson, Jake Paul situation?
Man, you know, it's terrible for legacy and nostalgia, one. But, you know what I'm saying, you know, people trying to eat, people trying to, you know, add to their own legacy as far as money-wise, you know, we talking that bullshit, but everybody do these little, what do they call those fights that ain't really sanctioned?
Exhibitions?
Exhibition-type fights, you know what I mean? They'll present it like it's a real fight, but it ain't sanctioned and no shit like that. So anything can happen. Anything goes, you know, whatever, whatever. You know, I'm not interested in paying no money to go see it or pay-per-view it, but I watched the reclip, the clips on YouTube afterwards. You know what I'm saying? See what happened. But, I mean, it can't nothing good come from it. Shit, if you knock him out, shit, he Tyson. If he get knocked out, oh shit, Jake Paul knocked out Mike Tyson. That's some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, listen, man. Everybody got their own right to live their own shit, man. So it's just another story in the books of, you know, how the mighty comes down, goes back up, and comes down again. So everybody human and got choices, man. So I can't judge them on it, but I don't have to be excited about it and watch it.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with a lot of what you said. Well, one, the beauty of this one, you know, at this point is it's going to be on Netflix. So it's not even a pay-per-view situation. I mean, it's already, you know, if you paid up on Netflix, you get to see it.
Is it live they going to fight, then they going to run it?
No, I think it's live on Netflix. It wouldn't make no sense. It would be corny if they did the replay on that. No, I think it's live to Netflix.
That's interesting. I mean, now, before you go, now, if it's a play for Netflix to start live stuff,
yeah,
then I think it's a smart play. You know, not good for you, Tyson's legacy and no shit like that, but it's a smart play. It's a way to get people to watch Netflix live all at once, which is something that they're missing.
Right. Yeah, they've done a little bit of it. They did the Chris Rock live, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they've done anything else. You know, they do a few. They did the SAG Awards live. Obviously, that's a more niche type of programmer, but this will be a big look. There's also been rumors that Netflix is going to raise their price yet again, which is getting a little ridiculous, you know, to be honest with you. But especially based on, like, some of the programming, you know, Netflix ain't, I don't think it's been as consistent as it used to be, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think they are still the biggest streamer in the game. So they kind of got so many people on lock that it's, and, you know, that it's kind of like, it's almost like what cable was. You know what I mean? So it's just like, if you're here, you're going to pay these extra $2 or whatever it's going to cost. So that's cool, you know, because that's going to be very interesting as far as the how far this shit is, like the impact of it all. You know what I mean? Like this is, these are fight parties that are already built in. You ain't even gotta go ahead and pay, you know, anything more than what you're paying monthly. So that's kind of fly. Right?
It ain't a real fight though, but okay.
And well, there's that. That's the other thing. That's the other thing. Well, I'll be honest with you. So, all right. So, speaking of everything that you said about legacy and all of that shit, right? Mm-hmm. When I first saw the news, I was immediately upset. You know what I'm saying? Like, immediately. I was like, oh, this is some bullshit. It you know, it touched on how I felt about Jake Paul in the way of how he's fighting, you know, boxers that are past their prime, but they still have, you know, legacy. There's still a name. You know what I mean? So you're getting, at least on paper, you're getting the association with, you know, like legendary fighters, and you're building your resume, you know, on the backs of these fighters, just with your name attached to them, even though this is not, this ain't Mike Tyson of the 80s or early 90s. This ain't him. You know, this is Mike Tyson at 57. You know what I mean? Was it Logan Paul or Jake Paul at Fort Mayweather? I get them mixed up. Either way, similar type of situation. You're using the Mayweather name, and it's like it kind of helps, you know, support your bid to be looked at as somebody of note in the fighting community. You're not really fighting anybody that's like all, you know, fighting anybody that's like vital. Like that's, they're in their prime. So we can see where you really match up with, you know? But then I was, you know, I was upset off that. I'm like, man, this is some bullshit, whatever, whatever. And then I got kind of in that whole Mike Tyson legacy shit. Right. Then I thought about it like, you know, the life of a boxer. Most boxers, especially if you get to be champion, especially if you get to make a name for yourself, to create a legacy, to go down in the books. Tyson is in the books. I mean, it's you know, that is what it is. He's got a legacy. I look at it two ways. There's this quote, and I'm paraphrasing, but I remember somebody asked Kanye, they was like, I forget what the move that he was going to do. And they were like, well, what about your legacy? And he was like, why are you leveraging fear against what I'm doing? I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, to look at it, because it is your legacy. Your legacy, first of all, like I said, you in the book. So your legacy is what you, is yours to do what whatever you want to do with it. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of a legacy, right? Right. And then also, like, back to the fighting thing, most boxers live and die on that fighting shit. Most boxers, many boxers, fight beyond their prime because that's how they've defined themselves. That's how they made, you know, that's how they made their bones. That's how they got to where they are. That's that's the best way that they can make some money, right? I don't like the theory or the little, you know, the, yeah, like, I guess, I don't know if it's the theory or the people talking about, you know, this is just a payday. Tyson's gonna, it's all scripted. Tyson's gonna take the fall, blah, 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 blah. Part of me, it's just in my heart of hearts, I just can't see fucking Iron Mike Tyson taking the fall. You know what I mean? And it hasn't been presented as of yet as an exhibition, but it probably is. It's reminiscent of like when Tyson and Roy Jones fought, you know. And, you know, it was just like up until maybe a few weeks out, that's when it was like, oh, no, it's an exhibition. It ain't going to be nothing crazy, blah, blah, blah. Because I do remember similar concern, but on both sides. Well, they both kind of old. You think it's going to be safe, this, that, and the other thing. And then it was like, nah, we just going to be basically sparring. You know what I mean? And they did what they did, and it was what it was. This... And then the last thing I noticed was like, well, it was a couple things. I was like, yo, quietly, I've started to not, I guess kind of respect the fact that Jake Paul, I believe, I get him confused with Logan, but Jake Paul, on both of them, they do have some respect for the game. It don't be all the way disrespectful outside of, you know, the commonplace trying to sell a fight type of shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when he go in there, they're gonna mix it up. You know what I'm saying? For better or worse. I'm not saying he's a great fighter, but I'm saying he's gotten better than what I may have given him credit for. You know what I mean? I'm not my man Emmanuel Stewart, so I can't tell you too much about technique and everything, mm-hmm. but sometimes the kid's starting to look better than he used to. Then what I also noticed was how good Mike Tyson is at selling a fight. You know what I'm saying? Tyson knows. I don't know if you see these little quick little vignettes of him just in there attacking his sparring partner, who's also older. You know what I mean? But like, you know, day three, nigga, is you ready? You know, that type of shit. You like, oh, shit. You know, but it's a while for what shit is like fucking months away. So I'm concerned he might be gassed out. But at the same time, I'm like, okay. Then I'm starting to see Jake Paul. Now he's starting to talk shit. Now I'm like, all right, I don't know about this. Now I'm a little upset again. But like, it's one of those things. They trying to pull the people in. And fortunately, it's on Netflix, and I got Netflix, so I wouldn't pay nobody to watch this shit, but I'm gonna be around. I'm gonna watch that shit hopefully live on Netflix. And it's gonna be what it's gonna be. And I would hope. My hope is that Tyson, you know, knock his head off. But the kid is, the guy's 57 years old. I just don't want him to get hurt. I just don't want it to go the other way. That's more than anything. I just don't want that shit to go the other way.
But I mean, he's 57, but he been pretty much doing this for a while. I don't know if Jake got the speed, but, you know, it looked like Tyson still got some speed on him. Yeah. But we're going to see, man. You know, we don't know what's real, what's fake.
Right.
I mean, Jake Paul bring in a lot of money for a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how much is real and how much is not, you know?
Right. We'll see. And I mean, Tyson is always, you know, historically is great early on, too. Like, you're going to do that damage early on. If it goes late, then it could get nasty. But if it goes early on, like, some of them punches that this cat is throwing, I don't care if you fucking 18, you know what I'm saying? Them shits is going to tear you down. You know what I'm saying? Those shits look lethal still. Mm-hmm. Some of them combinations, that shit connect, it could be a rap city. So we'll see. We will see. It's going to be interesting. What y'all think? Let us know.
Word.
What else is good? Anything else you want to chop it up about before we, you know what I mean? Talk about the hustlers.
Hey, it's the hustle time.
There it is. What it do?
Bird up.
BMF, we out here. Meech and T. Episode 303. Word. Sanctuary. Sanctuary. Yeah. It was interesting. What you laughing about?
I was just laughing at, you know, the show, you know what I'm saying? The way it's rolling out, you know what I'm saying? Just how black it is, for real. You know what I'm saying? Just as a, like, when you try to explain it to people, you know what I'm saying? Not black people, even black people who don't watch the show. It's like they try to figure out, is it a thing? And you be like, yeah, it's a thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not serious. You know, it's not a serious affair, but it's something that you can enjoy. It's some entertainment for your black self on the weekends. You know what I mean? Close out the weekend, well, to start off the weekend and get it going, you know? So, you know, that's what I was laughing at. Because I've had conversations where people be like, you know, is that a real thing? You be like, nigga, BMF is for the blacks. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny. I definitely had a conversation where I kind of had to describe it. You know what I mean? Like, what's the appeal type of shit? Like, so what's this show you watching? I was talking to my brother. One of my brothers was asking me, what's the show? So what's the show about? You kind of got to give them the spiel. And it's definitely, I don't want to say it's for a niche audience, but yeah, it is. The people that love it, love it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It may have other people scratching their head, but it's definitely some shit to watch. this season is I think I've said it before. It's very. It reminds me. It's got a lot of Dukes of Hazzard energy to it.
I can't even remember what Dukes of Hazzard was about, except them jumping the car.
Just jumping in the car. Just a lot of like reckless adventure. You know what I mean? And,
Yeah,
man.
You know, it gotta solve some problems. I don't even. Man.
Yeah. Problems get solved immediately, and sometimes you're like, what the fuck? No, but
Power Universe time. You know what I'm talking about?
That's the Power Universe. Yeah. It's been getting, and it's also, you know, I think that coming off of Raising Kanan, which I still feel like is the, that's the prestige show of the Power Universe, mm-hmm. outside of Power. You know, we said this many times. You can see the difference in acting. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like the performances are a lot different. You know, this mm-hmm. is definitely a face acting clinic. You know, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of new blood. You know what I mean? A lot of cats that are just kind of getting their chops together. Mm-hmm. And you find yourself, if you're going to be all in it, you find yourself being a more patient viewer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you're like, okay, all right, fair enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those type of things. So episode 3, season 3, Sanctuary. Where's the shit kickoff? So we open up Sanctuary. We see... You see Meech talking about Meech and his father. One of the ways that they bonded as kids mm-hmm. was through music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael Jackson and Prince think his father was a huge Marvin Gaye fan. They show Meech. Guess he used to play the drums a little bit back when, you know, mm-hmm. he was a young buck. You know what I mean? Before, you know, when he was young, innocent, not, you know, tearing the streets apart. And a little moment of him relating to his pops. I don't know. What instrument is that? That's the harpsichord. What's that instrument? A slide? Like, I don't know.
Shit, I don't know. The funk.
I always yeah, some funk ass shit. Something. I've seen those before. I couldn't properly identify it. But like, they got, you know, they got Meech and him having a little jam session at the crib, bonding. Mm-hmm. I felt like you were watching the shit, the sinking of them drums, and the drum pantomime was not together at all. But it was what
it
was.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh man, it's just one of those things. So you see that. But basically this episode is, you know, like we seeing that there seems to be an issue with well, first of all, we see T up in Detroit, his spot gets run up in. Mm-hmm. T gets disrespected so ridiculous. Like, it's become a theme throughout, you know, this show.
He fighting for throughout, his respect, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so apparent this season. Like, they really giving it to T. But, so what we also seeing is Meech trying to set up how they gonna start moving shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you kind of see that... they talk about Jack the Rapper coming to town, the mm-hmm. you know, the music convention, yeah. which I thought was kind of interesting that they, you know, there's a part in this show where part in this episode where they give kind of like a quick, you know, like a quick history
quick,
lesson,
quick history lesson on Jack the Rapper.
Jack the
I mean,
Rapper.
I appreciated that they attempted to do that. You know what I'm saying? With some actual uh-huh. footage, you know what I mean? To right. show how big it was, you know.
I appreciate it too. I thought that was kind of, I appreciated that a lot. I was like, oh, that was informative, because mm-hmm. I didn't know a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know that. And from what I understand, I guess it was called A Family Affair before it was Jack the Rapper.
It was always Jack the Rapper's Family Affair. They just, okay, you know, niggas that, just shortened it. You know what I'm saying? For their own purposes.
Okay, got it. Cause I was like, that's what threw me. Cause at mm-hmm. the end they were like, yeah, you know, the rappers loved it so much that they coined it Jack the Rapper.
Nah, the guy who started it, that's his name. That's his radio name, Jack the Rapper.
Yeah, Jack Gibson. Yeah. Okay.
And
got
so
it. Okay.
His event was called A Family Affair, Jack the Rapper's Family Affair. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because Pops got excited. But my first question for you is, we three episodes in, and there's one thing that is so consistent. Why is Stax, 2 Chainz character, why is that nigga so angry? Why is he on 10?
You know, apparently he wasn't supposed to be trusting them no way from the jump. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's playing out, but, you know, he been pouting the whole season. His afro been sad. You know, his shoulders been hunched. Like, I mean, shit. Nigga, this nigga acting teacher is got the blues right now.
Oh, man.
But yeah, man. It's okay because it's BMF. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, nah. It's
power we'll try.
Yeah, we're going to get it. Yeah, you know. BMF.
Black power.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, he mad. He bounce out the group because, you know, I guess he felt like it was going the way he wanted it to go. Money was slow. I guess, you know what I'm saying, them trying to wait for the plug shit to come together was too much for him. And then, you know, Meech just taking it upon himself, you know what I'm saying, I pawned my Rolexes to give y'all some bread, keep y'all on staff, you know what I'm saying. It's a magical
hero.
Robin Hood. Because I know, because he know the plug is, you know, he right there. He got it. He just ain't got it yet.
Right.
But
he got a lot from Rolex. I don't know how many Rolexes he sold.
Yeah.
Especially for back then. And a pawn.
I mean, man, you know, that probably wasn't about a couple stacks a piece. It wasn't that.
Yeah. You
know,
shit.
It's not to hold a nigga down. You know, back then, nigga was just trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Things weren't as expensive as it is these days.
You know what I'm saying? Gotcha.
Nigga, 3-4 grand, nigga, hold a nigga down, you know?
Okay. All right, back. Yeah. He definitely blessed the congregation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Chainz couldn't take that. He was, you know, seemed like he was a little miffed that Meech was, you know, shining in his Robin Hood way.
Yeah, he stormed off like T would. He pulled the T on that one. So that was that. I'm trying to think what else. What else went down on this episode?
Shit, we'll T had the same problem with the niggas ready to quit. You know what I'm saying? Niggas quitting on him.
Few people quit on him. They's getting upset.
Yeah, because Meech, you know what I'm saying? We bought in the Meech, not you.
Right. Not baby bro. Mm. Come on now. Oh, also what happened was... Strapsity, that's what I call her, old Strapsity, she's been kind of infiltrating and intercepting their deliveries. So she got them fucked up. So then they found out that they you know, they kind of retrofitted an ambulance to move some product. Right. So T sent some people there to shut it down.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, go ahead.
No, and then the crooked cop needed it, you know what I'm saying, because he needed some strange pull to keep his son straight on the inside. You
know right.
At the juvie.
Because Kevin, I got to figure out what the cop's name is again. I'm going to find it while we talking. But Kevin is doing, he's no longer a little guy. You know what I mean? He's no longer young hopeful. That shit is, that all of that youth and positivity is vacant from his eyes.
As Theo Vaughn said, you in crime now, brother.
Yeah. He is in the system. You can see it. That shit is fucking with his ribs. Somebody, you know what I mean? Look, he just came in fresh off ass whipping. You know, he don't really want to hear about all that shit he been drawing. All that coloring that he was talking about. Nah, nigga. I need you to figure this shit out, bro. And I need you to do that shit soon. So much so, because I can't even get excited about none of this shit no more. This shit is dismal. So Pops is like, uh-oh, I got to figure this shit out. So then he go back. And he you know, he's freelancing with the drug dealers, you know. And saying, all right, well, look, one thing that they don't look at is an ambulance. This is what you could do. So then he say, let me handle this with y'all, you know. And then one of T's people, I guess, peeped that they were, you know, they would outfit in the ambulance, you know, to smuggle the coke or whatever. So
yeah,
he
it was
went
the
back.
Same guy that he had the conversation with the guys when the guys left. He was going to leave too because, you know what I'm saying, everybody was getting plugged up by old girl. And,
right.
And, you know, he pulled the flinery speech on him, and he changed his mind and decided to roll with the team he grew up with. And, you know, he's like, he sent them specifically to get as much information as he can and on her every move or whatever. And he was able to give them that information.
Yeah. So they got the information. They find out, okay, that they got this shit coming. Also, at the same time, now, who tipped off the cops?
Well, they was following them. If you saw it, like, the ex-partner was already on them before the ambulance came into play. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that beat is on the BMF boys anyway. You know, or whoever they own, shit, they was on them.
The Sorry, cops? The two women?
The cops was on a stakeout.
Okay.
So
okay.
The ambulance came, they was already watching the niggas who was going to hit the ambulance. I don't know how or why. But
yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't understand how they got so clued in. But yeah. So Detective Bryant is my man. Detective Bryant, and then what's Thelman Louise's name? It's where are we gonna get to? Oh, Detective Veronica Jin, and I'll find the other woman's name, the other detective. But you know, they have in there, their little scenes. It seems just seem like kind of just like, I don't know, superfluous. I don't know. It just seems like it's just out the blue. Like they, I don't know what they trying to do. They trying to build some heart in it, but it just always feels a little too like, what do you call it? It's just like, it just feels like it's, they trying to like shoehorn the shit in. You know,
they got to have that part. It's just they rushing, trying to establish BMF big, but then, you know, you got to establish the cops, but not a dirty cop. The dirty cop is being dirty, but then he saved the other cop. She killed the nigga right in front of her like nothing.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, when I'm talking about with the two ladies, when the one woman was like, you know, I'm not afraid to die. You know,
man, we don't know what they talking about, man.
it's just out the... I mean, I get it. They try to advance it and build these, flesh these characters out, but it just feels like it's just fucking shoehorned in. Like, okay, all right, you ain't afraid to die. Yeah, you know, me neither. When my sister died, it made me cold as well. So we just out here. Right. Have you been in a gunfight? Not yet. But I ain't afraid to die. Here we go.
Where the fuck was she when the guns started going off, though?
She was afraid, nigga. She was afraid to die. She wasn't trying to die. They
damn,
she
was
at.
Afraid to shoot.
Hell yeah. She said, shit, I ain't know you was going to pop up on me. This is too spontaneous. You got to let me know. So they out there shooting and shit. Bryant definitely killed homie right in front of... you know, his old, you know, Detective Jen, his old lover, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like old partner, but old, he had a thing for her. And he looked her in her eye and shot this motherfucker. Bow! Mm-hmm. That's what I feel for you. You know what I'm saying? And also, I'm going to kill this motherfucker, but I don't need this coming back to me. You know I'm out here riding dirty now because, you know, they cut my benefits. So please do not tell none of these new people. And don't tell your homegirl that's afraid to die because I don't know. We don't trust her. But
that
just, again, I'm saving your life. I'm saving your life, but keep it cool. Keep it cool because I'm over here doing dirty work. So there's that. What else? So then this was the crazy shit. So... with that happening, and then homegirl, when they found out, Strapsody found out that one of her peoples, I gotta find her name. One of her lieutenants got killed.
That was like her family, like her cousin or something.
It could have been. It could have been because later on.
Yeah.
Well, I guess she related to everybody because there was also the moment where she, Strapsody, she like, what she liked to do, she loved a little hybrid of violence and sex. It's right. Always,
her name
always,
Henrietta.
Henrietta, okay. Henrietta, she always like a little violence and sex. So she over there, and these women are like, and she's dealing with it, it seems like they real, like they crash test dummies. You know what I'm saying? She'd be finding these women, and they might never go home. You know what I'm saying? You might get shot in the head. You might get beheaded. She's, they call her Henrietta. She's like King Henry VIII.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like the way, so she's in there, and she kissing her whole girl. She getting her shit off, and her cousin, her other cousin, her remaining cousin, as they would say at a funeral program, he over there crying and going through it. You know what I'm saying? And he, she like, yo, what's going on? What's the problem? I'm just sad, you know, they killed such and such, and it should have been me. I can't believe it. So, you know, King Henry, she like, look, all right, I know how to settle this. Hey, listen, comfort woman, go over there and handle my cousin. She needs your talents. Now, the cousin's like, look, I ain't come here for that. I came here for, you know what I'm saying, for boneless. You know what I'm saying? So then she was like, pulled out the Zorro sword and was like, look, either you going, you know what I mean? Either you going to handle this business or I'm going to cut your whole shit. So then she reluctantly goes over there and starts, you know, giving him some consolement top. You know what I'm saying? And Henry goes through like one of her little soliloquies and this is what we about to do and whatever, whatever. And I guess one of her big plans was to send CPS at Tiana.
I mean, they got there so goddamn quick.
Oh my goodness. It's the same CPS person from Canaan.
They jumped out the ambulance and was at the house.
Yeah. So CPS coming over there. Unexpected to T&M living. This wasn't the Flannery house.
Nah, this
I guess this
house.
Was at Wanda's house.
Yeah.
This at Wanda's house? So they at Wanda's house and this shit, you know, it ain't doing good. Markeisha, he got Markeisha living nice.
Well, Markeisha got Markeisha living nice.
Yeah, I guess. Is that what you think?
Well, I mean, now that I look back on it and you posed the conspiracy thought of, you know what I'm saying, she tricked him in the pan for the shit and then, you know what I'm saying, got him to the side like, hey, nigga, hey, nah, I ain't asked to live with you. I just needed a place to stay.
I just need some sponsorship. Anyway, so Wanda and the kids, they living in turbulent times. You know what I'm saying? So much so that T and this bitch smoking stress. You know what I mean?
Why though? Well, I guess it ain't all the way cracking yet. He got the restaurant. He got the car business. They got too many things going on.
I don't think Wanda got the designer eye. She don't have that interior decorative eye that Markeisha got.
Well, shit. We see Wanda got stress. Wanda got real life to be dealing with. This nigga ain't set that shit out. He doing lobster and shrimp over across the way.
Yeah. He over that bitch smoking Reggie blunts. And here comes
and
CPS.
Who's the other lady in that motherfucker?
Answer I think that's dose. Wanda mom's.
Oh.
I think that's Wanda's mom. I think. I don't know, but it's like, again, it's tough. It's tough times over there.
Well, that's like a auntie.
CPS. CPS come through with that motherfucking clipboard. She don't want to hear none of that shit you talking, nigga. She is in this bitch observing and reporting. He's like, no, this must be a joke, a cruel prank.
Child is well taken care of.
Yes. Good child, coughing child, got emphysema, got fucking like onset. This child is like 11 months with fucking emphysema. He's like, yo, did you check this kid for asthma? Well, not yet. Well, we gonna look at the child got COVID-19 back in 1991. So anyway, so boom, she in that bitch, she's like, she jotting all types of crazy shit. That Eddie was smoking bad weed. not even marijuana. It was bad weed. It was seeded reefer. So then she leave. This nigga like, oh shit. Wanda like, that bitch Markeisha did this. He like, I don't know. So he go see Markeisha. Markeisha, mm-hmm. like, nigga, come on now. I'm a mother too. You know what I mean? Whatever, whatever. I wouldn't do no shit like that. I know what it is. Blah, blah, blah. Same time. Now, where's this at? This ain't at Markeisha's house. This is at the new house. Wasn't there a part where they go to, like, this? Tego gets a whole new house with Markeisha. Right. Because, again, she got
Markeisha got a new house.
Yeah.
T pay for.
Markeisha got the house, but mm-hmm. then T got, like, a new little spot.
Oh, a little bachelor pad.
Yeah, but I think that's for, like, he's going to bring the kids in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they got to show that, yo, we doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Markeisha got the eye. You know what I mean? She's like, you know, throw pillows and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to get the shit looking classy. Then mom's come in with all of the judgment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to talk to my son. So Markeisha got to go. And then mom's is, you know, hitting him with the, you know what I mean? I think all the judgment. But which is so crazy because Mom Dukes is over here on, you know, like, remember the times dates mm-hmm. with old Dr. Smooth. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Smooth, this nigga is so self-assured. Like, he in the cut. Like, he playing it smooth, super smooth. He done got the popcorn balls from yesteryear. You know, he got the plug on that. Everybody else trying to get a Coke plug. He got a popcorn plug. Done blew her mind. This is shit from Cleveland. Remember we was at the park? Yeah,
man,
baby, you
come
know
on,
I'm
man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
one, so. You know, mom ain't probably felt it, you know, in a butterflies in a minute. You know what I'm saying?
She ain't been caught.
She's been too much struggle going on. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, Mr. Charles, you know, cheated. She trying to, you know, she trying to figure out how to get the lick back, plus move on with her life, plus, you know what I'm saying, this nigga out in Atlanta having the time of his life at Jack the Rapper and shit.
But he was thinking of her.
Yeah.
He got a Clark Sisters t-shirt.
It's too late,
you know
Charles.
What I'm saying?
One, it's too late for the t-shirt. Well, that's one. Two, it's too late for you to live your music dreams. You know what I'm saying? Actually, it ain't never too late to do whatever the fuck you want to do. But in this show, it's too late.
Okay. Oh, man. So, all right. So, let's talk about that, Mr. Charles. Flip-flopping ass Pops.
Mm-hmm.
So, because Pops be moral center, then he be left of center every so often. Moms is cool. She's like, well, shit, if Meech is out here getting it for us, Meech is the man now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Meech is the new Pops.
Right.
So Meech can do no wrong in mom's eyes, but Pops, he be flip-flopping. Sometimes he done came all the way down to Atlanta to see the house, look at the foundation on the house. But you know your son is a drug dealer, so you know how he got the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he wants you to sign your name to the deed,
so classic.
So it looks legitimate.
So classic. Yeah. 90s drug dealer, young nigga ass shit. Pull you all the way
Talk
down from Detroit and hit you with the last minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, how many you can sign for me? You like, God damn, nigga.
I need a coast. I need your name on this. But look, this is the thing. Like, you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is. You know he's not down there. He ain't going to Morehouse. You know what I'm saying? He down there trying to build an empire, trapping, you know? And now he got a house, and it's going to be some shit that come with it. And now, again, you don't like how he live. You know what I'm saying? Because not only is it illegal, but it's going to pull your ass into it. You know what I'm saying? And he's righteous in the way, look, I did things that I had to do because I had kids and I had no choice and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get some time to think about it. So at the same time, they go to the Jack the Rapper. And you want to talk a little bit about some of this?
Go ahead. I'm gonna chime in on it, man.
Okay. All right. So they go to the Jack the Rapper. Pops. Oh, well, we see Pops is excited. Oh shit, you got tickets to a family affair. They like, oh nigga, hide the tickets. You know what I mean? Because this is a drug dealer convention now. This is where all of the players meet. and everybody trying to meet a plug, nigga. You know what I mean? Maybe a couple people trying to get signed, but more often than not, more these motherfuckers here trying to establish themselves. Mm-hmm. So he tried to send Pops home to the, you know, try to send Pops to the hotel or just put him on punishment, basically. Because Meech is everybody's father on the show, even right. his father's father.
Right, you know, he ain't want his pops in there, no way, because, you know what I'm saying, the ops in there, you know what I'm saying, it's a lot going on, you know what I'm saying, it might pop off into some gangster shit, and he don't want his dad to be nowhere around that. Yeah. But Charles having a good time, man. He's like, nigga, I know how to handle myself.
Uh-huh, nigga, shit. Yeah, so,
man, how you think you got here, Nagle?
So Pops is over there with his brand new Clark Sisters t-shirt, all folded up nice, you know what I mean? Ready to be checked. And my man, one of the Haitian cats is, I guess, down with the Miami Killers. Man. He pull up behind him. He say, yo, you know, look, man, he got a little fledgling record label as well. And he said, man, I heard that you played a slide keytar. You know what I'm saying?
The funk machine.
Yeah, man, niggas told me.
Nigga played a funk box, nigga.
Nigga, I heard your name was ringing from Detroit to Ypsilanti out there. And we might need you to be the face of the label at a good 47 years old. We might need you, you know what I mean, to be in the, with, look, this is it. This is the big day. We could do it, you know what I mean? Like, let's walk around, let's talk, let's meet and greet. So Pops is enamored. Pops starting to feel like, oh shit, it ain't over. You know what I'm saying? Papa got a brand new bag. You know what I mean? And then he realizes when brother Haiti, I forget my man, because he was hitting him with a lot of Creole. I don't know my man's name, but he down with the Miami Killers. They pull up on Meech and it's revealed. Oh shit. Meech like, oh damn, Pops. And then this is Dukes of Hazzard type shit. It's like, oh yeah. Look what it is. And this is what I want to talk about.
What?
Before the fight. Uh-huh. This is the funniest part of the whole shit.
I know.
One of the funniest moments. Oh yeah, I think when we see young Meech have a conversation, have a heart-to-heart with old Tupac Amaru Shakur.
As the internet would say, to be Tupac.
Oh, man, I saw that. I saw Tupac not sure. I saw a few different things. So, I was like, go ahead.
No, the truth. No, go ahead about Tupac, though. I'm about to say something else.
My thing was, oh shit, here come Tupac. Cause I seen them allude to people, but they ain't say nobody's name. Cause I heard them earlier say, they go Puffy. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, are they going to show a Puffy? And is it going to be some type of caricature? Cause you know, 50 like trolling Puff, but it was just a name drop.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we see who is, you know, we see the Tupac cosplay, you know what I mean? My man dressed like Tupac. And for a minute, I'm like, well, maybe this is just going to be some shit, some if you know, you know type shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to say it's Pac, but if you caught it, you caught it. You know, a little Easter egg type shit. Like, we're not going. But then he was like, he started talking about himself in the third person. He's like, you know, when Pac go overseas, they love Pac overseas and Pac loved him. I'm like, oh,
and Pac
shit.
Haven't even been overseas yet.
That didn't matter. That ain't bad in the writer's room. We need Pac to be international. So Meech
tells
Pac.
You know
when
Pac got his passport?
I don't know. I was about to say
Pac got his passport. He got his passport when Carla took him, when Carla took him to Italy for the shows with Kidada.
That was what, 97?
Yep.
No, it couldn't have been 97. It was 95?
Whatever year before he died, when he started wearing all the Versace shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so he
hadn't even been overseas yet at this point. If this is 90 or 90 whatever, and if Pac is there and Puffy is there, you know what I'm saying? There was a classic Jack the Rapper when all them was there. It was Snoop now first one. It's when Death Row was just starting. Puffy was just starting Bad Boy, it was 93. And I was there. That was the one when Death Row and Luke got to fighting and Luke, you know, got into him.
Was you there with the Miami Killers?
They weren't Haitian, though.
Oh, okay.
It was just okay, Liberty City niggas.
Gotcha. LCN.
It was LCN. Liberty City niggas. You know, JT Money, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. Shit.
Were you
like
in the mix when Haitians they was
really made, the Haitians really made their stance around about 96.
Okay.
That's when they started to come of prominence. You know what I'm saying?
Did
not
you
that
see
they
the
weren't
fight?
There. Yeah, I saw the fight. I was right in the middle of the shit.
How'd you dodge all of that shit?
Well, see, the thing about it was Death Row was about to have a showcase, right? And so the room they was in was downstairs. And so you come down the escalator, some escalators and shit. You come in the building, there's some escalators. And then, so we was going, you know, we was always of the mind to get the shit early so you can sneak in and get the good space and, you know what I'm saying, be in position. And so we got down there, and as we were going down, the Luke niggas was coming in the building, and all of them had on yellow T-shirts that said Cowards in Compton, which was the rebuttal to the Dre diss that on the Chronic. And so soon as they got on the escalator behind us, and as soon as all of the Death Row niggas saw the Cowards in Compton shirt, they were like, oh shit, it's time to set it, cause they was deep. Like Snoop came in that bitch like a whole super. He was a star. Like, you could see that he was a star from when he first came out. Even the rappers was like, damn. But he had all them Death Row niggas like walking side by side around him in straight lines on two sides of him. And then they went down in that room, and then as soon as Luke and them came out, all of the Death Row niggas that was outside of the room, they just went straight at it. And then you just start seeing them niggas in black just start falling because the Luke niggas had on yellow shirts. And you just start seeing all that black falling. And then we was under the escalators, like, you know what I'm saying? So we was like kind of like with our backs to the escalator so you couldn't, you know what I'm saying? So you could have a good place to be without being in the middle of it. And then at a certain point, two of the niggas from Death Row came under the escalators where we was at, like trying to, you know what I'm saying, recalibrate, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it was like, it was one nigga that was built, he looked like Melly Mel, my nigga. Except he was from L.A. He had a ponytail, built, and another nigga. And then Melly Mel nigga looked at the other nigga at a certain point and was like, let's serve these niggas. I'm like, oh, shit, these niggas about to shoot this shit up. Oh, fuck. And then he ran out there, nigga punched Melly Mel out. It wasn't the real Melly Mel. The L.A. Melly Mel punched him out. He was out cold. And they had the other nigga hemmed up, beating on him. And then a nigga had like a Cavassier glass and wound that bitch up like a pitch and threw it at the last one. That shit broke all off the top of his head, and then it was over. And then all of the yellow shirt niggas got together and was jumping up and down talking about Luke, there it is. Luke. Because Whoop Dead Is was out at the time. It was like, Luke, there it is. Luke, there. I was like, boy, these are Miami niggas for sure.
He's got a celebration dance for your ass. It was like, so when we win, this is what we gonna do. All right, so this is what we gonna say now.
Yeah, man, I don't think nobody even planned it. They just did it. Them niggas came in, as they say, you know what I'm saying? Them niggas woke up with violence. You know what I'm saying? They already knew why they was there. Cause they didn't waste no motherfucking time. They wasn't there 5 minutes, dog, I'm trying to tell you. Cause by the time we walked in, they was walking in behind us. By the time we got to the bottom of the escalator, they was at it.
Damn. That's crazy. That's amazing. Well, in BMF episode 3, Luke wasn't there, but Meech was.
Meech was there, definitely there.
So we gotta talk about.
But Pac was there, so that's why I said all that. Pac performed that day.
Yeah. Meech had a conversation with her because Pac was kind of, I don't know, it seemed like he was a little forlorn. And Meech told Pac, you know, keep your head up. And then he moved over and then, you know what I mean? And he got back to, whatever it was. Pops came over with my man from the Miami Killers.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's known, oh, shit, this is a double cross. Pops like, what? And then, you know, not just Duke the Hazard, but a little Batman. Remember old Batman TV show where it'd be like, wham!
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of that type of fighting. So they start fighting and shit. And Meech is fighting like vintage Pac in the MGM.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Kicking and wild punches and shit like that. And then, of course, you know, old Pops. Pops hit him with a, you know what I mean, an old school Detroit classic. Boom! With the little Motown bound. Drop somebody. They all fighting back to back. They having a good time. Everybody, you know, nobody gets hurt, you know, between Meech and Pops. They pull off. They driving home and shit. You know what I mean? And, you know, a little bit of resolution. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So you see why I need to, Pops, you see why I need you to sign this lease. You know what I mean? The whole reason I'm out there is because I don't got a place. If I had a place, a little spot where I could lay low, this mm-hmm. type of shit, you know, I'm just trying to make something better for our family.
Right.
Pops finally see the light. You know what I mean? Done lost the T-shirt, but he see the light. Won the fight, lost the T-shirt. So ultimately, he signs off. You know, as soon as he signs off, they like, hey, they're excited. This nigga's cab pulls up. Pops leaves. And then,
conflicted, Mr. Charles.
Oh, conflicted, but he did what he needed to do. Then there's also the moment where they, where Meech and a couple of his squad, they pull up on Greeny. Because, you know, they figured out Greeny was the reason that they got... Yeah, they set him up. So they beat their Greenies in the car, chastising Angel, telling her she ain't ever going to be shit, this, that, and the other thing. I'll run you, whatever, whatever, you know.
He was so nice. Though. He was saving her and shit. You know, you could be better.
Yeah.
You're too good for this.
Yeah, no, you know, he's definitely saving her.
Welcome to the A.
Right. So Meech and them, they drag Greeny about the car, stomp him out in the middle of the street, you know. They take Savin, and, you know, Meech put his cape on, he grab Angel. Now, this is the thing that didn't make much sense to me. You know, like, we see that Greeny, and they leave Greeny still living. He bloody, but he living. He's like, I'm going to get you niggas. You know what I mean? One of those. Just wait, swearing revenge. And, you know, like.
Cut his water off.
You're supposed to. And his man was like, let's do it, man. Let's just kill him now. Why are we waiting around? Meech like, nah, let him live. Let him tell the story. So, you know, Meech take Angel away. Now, Angel's still kind of under a spell. Greeny, you know, that's his bottom. Like, he done broke her down, all the way down. She don't believe in herself. She only believe in Greeny.
Mm-hmm.
So Meech been saying that he want a place to lay low. He want a sanctuary. He take Greeny's bottom chick, who was also used to set him up, to his sanctuary, which didn't make no sense. And then she's like, you know, maybe Greeny right. Maybe I ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? And Greeny, I mean, and Meech go get a cover, a little quilt, and he
must
put
be
it over
one of his
her.
Baby mamas or something.
Yeah, maybe he put the quilt over her.
Might be his nigga might be playing him, his daddy talking to his mama.
What you mean? Yeah, could be. Angel, you know what I mean? So whatever. So that's kind of how it ends. He puts a little quilt over her legs, like, don't even worry about that. You with Meech now. You know what I mean? And, you know, 50 come in with, you know, some of his, I'm 50, but whoever the narrator is, come in talking about there's no real sanctuary in the game. You know what I mean? To kind of send the theme home. And then, you know, that's it. Everything home, my man. You know, and then the shit goes off. And that was episode 303.
We missed Mr. Charles finding the check now.
Oh, shit. Yeah, doctor. Yeah, old Dr. Smooth wrote a big check.
Is sick.
Mm-hmm. Because Now, whoa, real quick. At what point did Mr. Charles go get that fucking big-ass photo of Meech and him in front of the new house and put it in the frame?
I don't even know.
That shit was quick in a motherfucker. Right there. Yeah, actually, he had that big ass picture that he flew home with. But anyway, so yeah, he find that check. He feel away.
I mean, yeah. Like, what a nigga supposed to feel at that point?
Well, he gotta feel defeated because in that house it's all struggle and no fucking. You know what I mean? And ain't no, you know, that's at least a coping mechanism. There's no sex in that house. It's just that nigga, you ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know you think I look good right now. I'm walking around in these pajamas and all of this other shit, but none of this is for you.
Nope.
And go back to your son's room.
This is for the good doctor.
Mm-hmm. And he see.
As old girl told her earlier in the show, a good dick is hard to find. I mean, a good dick is good to find, or some shit she said. Good man is hard to find, but a good dick is good to find. That's what she said. Some shit like that.
Something to that effect. Hard. Yeah, whatever. But you know, yeah, we ain't going
to say it too many times. All the yeah, exactly. Shit, you know,
but you know, the homegirl is basically encouraging her. You know what I mean? Just go ahead and get it on. Yeah. Come on now. What's going on? So, you know, the more and more she kind of like, you know, and then my man, you know, he laying it on thick. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker is the knight in shining armor. You know what I'm saying? And got a check. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious to see how this plays out. Is it going to be a little conflict between, you know, Pops and Doc? Are we going to find out that Doc is actually married on the low and he just, you know what I mean, hitting her with some G just to, you know, to kind of bring completion to some shit he always wanted? Mm-hmm. You know, because it just seems a little too good to be true.
Like good we'll times? We'll
see what happened on good times. Well, that was the
well, you know, it don't never, everything, it's just be seeming good and then, you know what I'm saying, shit happens.
Right. Yeah,
Thelma getting married, then an NFL boyfriend falling, tears ACL.
Exactly. Something like that. Something's going to happen. We'll see what it is. But, yeah, Popsy the check. So he going to feel away. And I guess we'll see. You got any predictions for the rest of the season?
Man, I'm just laughing along, man. I'm not even trying to predict. Why would we predict, man? It's, you know, we know the overall story, but, you know what I'm saying? You know, young Kevin in there getting fucked up in prison. So they'll figure out how to get him out. But his daddy going to jail.
Think Pop's going to jail?
Yeah. Something's going to happen to him. It's too much. Because we don't even see the other police that saw what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
We saw his partner. His partner might not roll over on him, but
I'm curious how long she's going to last, the other one. What's going to happen? Is she either she's going to have a big moment or she's going to get she's going to get knocked off.
She like the sister. She need more lines. I don't know what the fuck going on over there.
Yeah, they need to do something with her. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with King Henry VIII. If she's going to be neutralized or she is going to get some retaliation with T and them. I don't know what else is going to happen.
That's T beef. You know what I'm saying? Meet
your price save. See, think Nicole getting pregnant this season?
Damn. You know, possibly. You going to predict it anyway.
I'm just saying. I'm just throwing shit out. Just looking at what's been set up so far. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with if Greeny is all the way out of it, if 2 Chainz is all the way out of it, if Angel is all the way out of it. So is 2 Chainz going to try to come at Meech? Well, see what happened there.
2 Chainz main thing, as I thought about it, you know what I'm saying, he wants some get back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And niggas slow with the get back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Slow with this get back. So he said, fuck y'all, I'm out doing my thing. But it's just a setup for the rest of the season. You know what I'm saying? Well, he'll come back in power time to you know, make a big splash and get his water turned off or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's it, man. We'll talk about some other shit next week. I got something. I wanted to got some more power related shit, but we'll speak about that next week. I feel like this is a good spot to you know, close the door, close the chapter. You know what I mean? Shut it down for 500. It's been a good one. It's been a good one. And yeah, man, we already said fly shit up top, so there's no real need for a benediction. So I'm just going to say, oh, before we go, I definitely want to say this. Unfortunately, due to some events over at the venue, the Dallas show at the Comedy Arena has been canceled. Hopefully, we will revisit that sooner than later. But at the moment, it is a wrap. I will not be there. If you bought tickets, because I heard a few people that hit me up said they bought tickets, holler at the venue for a refund. And I'm disappointed. I really was looking forward to coming out there to McKinney, Texas to have a good time. But unfortunately, you know, due to circumstances beyond my control, we will not be there April 4th and 5th or April 5th through 6th. So, I'll keep y'all posted. But for now, that show is canceled. And that is it. But in the meantime, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.